Welcome to Gardening Naturally with Jeff Ferris. Call or text Jeff now with your gardening and landscape questions, 512-836-0590.
Hey, good morning, gardeners. Sorry, I have the sneezes this morning. I don't know what got stirred up last night. Speaking of last night, I'm hoping all of you are doing okay. Farther north of Austin, they got some serious rain, 5 inches of rain in 12 hours. If you go to the LCRA Hydromet map, there's places listed there that received between 1 and nearly 6 inches of rain. Now, the good thing about it is it's in a watershed basin that is going to wind up coming back and filling up Lake Travis, or helping fill Lake Travis. At the very least, it will stop the decrease of the amount of water in the lake. That's a good thing. However, that's a lot of rain in one place. I'm hoping we didn't have a bunch of flash flooding problems up there. No. We need rain. We don't need those. Right now, after all this rain, many folks are going to see these eruptions in their lawn, in their landscape. It's going to be fire ants raising up, mounding up. Part of the reason for that is as it rains, water soaks into the soil. Well, it soaks down into the fire ant nest. And it'll drown them. But they work like crazy to dig themselves out. And that's where you get that mounding of nothing but fire ants. Rule number one, do not disturb it. Don't go, oh, look at those fire ants, and put a stick in there or something and aggravate them. If they feel threatened, they will split up. So you may have one mound today, and you go out there and you hit it with a shovel and really tear up the soil. And you get them all swarming, and they can break off into multiple queens, multiple mounds. So you're just getting them to move somewhere else when you do that. You're not killing them. When you see one of those mounds, this is the perfect time to apply a fire ant bait. Your particular choice, the ones with spinosad, are very, very effective. They go by the name of come and get it, conserve. Taro fire ant bait is also a spinosad-based bait. So there are lots of products out there. And these will only harm the fire ants. They're not going to bother your pets, your kids, the soil, etc. Don't stir the mound. You're not doing anything beneficial to try to kill them. Sprinkle the baits all the way around and over the mound. They will hear the grains falling on the ground, and it'll make them come up, and they will take the bait. They eat it. It makes them sick. They go to the queen. They share it with the queen. They wind up killing the queen. This is not an immediate knockdown. This can take some time to kill the mound. The idea is if you kill the queen, she can't lay any more eggs. You'll have no more workers. And it'll wind up with the mound collapsing. Excuse me, I don't mean the physical mound. the group of fire ants. This is a very good time to go out there and get them. They are mounding up. They'll show you where they're at, and you'll be able to apply the right amount of bait. You won't be wasting any. We may not have any more rain. Today we may get some later, but even rain is not going to destroy the bait or float it away. It will be there for the fire ants. Now, the second problem we have is with all this rain, a lot of y'all are probably like, oh, man, I got to mow. When am I going to be able to do that? Because the grass is too wet. It'll just clog your mower and it'll look terrible rather than letting it dry out a little bit and then trimming it nice and neat. No, I'm not making an excuse saying you don't have to mow today. That's up to you. But we have some hot temperatures coming this week. We won't be back into our normal temperatures for this time of the year till Friday or Saturday. They'll be awesome days. They will be really wonderful spring days. But we're going to have, starting Monday through Thursday, we're going to be in the 80s and 90s. So we're warming up in a hurry. That should help dry out some of this rain. It should allow you to get to your grass so that you can get it trimmed. And you can hope for the best. Now, another problem with mowing when the grass is really wet is, for one, it'll really wear out your blade, meaning it'll dull it. And a dull blade does a terrible job on the turf. That's not good. Your turf will look poorly, and because it's tearing the blade rather than making a clean cut, you increase the risk of inducing diseases in your turf. So I know we got to mow soon, but if you have a little patience, middle of the week, you'll probably get dried out enough to be getting out there and really doing a good job on your turf. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. you know, had a great thing last night. Really going to make a big deal about it, too. Last night when we were going to bed, turned all the lights off, we happened to be looking outside, and son of a gun, we saw a whole bunch of fireflies. Hadn't seen them in a couple of years. We had a really good year 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, a lot of them. But I haven't seen any since. But last night, they were going crazy. We were almost giddy because it's so amazing to see these little bugs light up the skies. It looked like I had quite a few, not just the odd firefly or two. There were many of them and covering a pretty large area. So it looks promising this year. The cooler temps, the amount of rain, the humidity, has keeping the environment good for the fireflies. Now, fireflies reproduce in leaf compost. So, you know, when all the trees shed their leaves, If you leave them there, you're creating the environment so the fireflies can reproduce and you'll have fireflies. I have the fireflies in an area where I have let native wildflowers go. Native weeds grow. Basically, I just got this big part of my property where I just leave it alone. I don't mow it. I will mow it, but I haven't mowed it in a while and definitely haven't sprayed anything and just kind of let things be. And man, it was amazing last night to get to watch and see these fireflies going off again. Hadn't seen them in many years at my property, but they were out in force. They were out in force last night. Really, really enjoyed that. And I think the majority of it is because I generally don't use pesticides. I mean, I use BT because of caterpillars. But in the big picture of things, I kind of let nature run on her own. And as a result, the firefly survives and rewarded me with quite the show last night. Looking forward to it tonight, too. Surprised at how many we had, but very, very grateful that we had any. The other thing that we've got, the other thing that we've got going on is with all this rain, you're going to see some of your plants yellowing. What happens is they're going to wind up being in constantly wet soil. In some cases, they're going to be in a swamp, depending on how much rain you got. And that affects their ability to pick up certain nutrients they need to give them nice, pretty green leaves. It is not something that you should be incredibly concerned about, because once the water drains and dries out some, the plants will recover. They'll do just fine. Anything you would add to them is not going to take effect any faster than the water drying out. So you won't know what one really made the difference here. Is it because I added this, or is it just because it finally dried out? So be patient. Be understanding that, oh, this container plant, it just started getting yellow leaves. Yeah, if it's been outside, it's probably stayed wet too long. And as soon as it dries out, it'll be fine. You just have to have some patience for it. Now, something else you may notice, got pictures of this from a listener yesterday. Pear trees, they can be temperamental. Pear trees suffer a disease called fire blight. There are varieties that are nearly immune to fire blight, and there are varieties that if you say the word fire blight, they'll get fire blight. Fire blight will show up where the leaves will turn black and the branches, the tips of the branches will turn black, brittle, and they tend to make a hook, like a shepherd's hook. They'll bend over. The leaves will turn black and they'll be crunchy. That is a sign of fire blight. Fire blight is a disease of wet. had a lot of water, we have a risk of fire blight. And fire blight affects more than just pears. Loquats can get it. Roses can get it. There's a lot of plants that can suffer this. However, excess water will also wind up turning a lot of the leaves on your pear black. Now, there'll be a big difference if the leaf is black, but it's supple, feels like a piece of leather. It's not brittle. It's not crumbly. It is probably not fire blight. If the branch is brittle and black, looks like somebody set fire to it. If the leaves are crumbly and brittle, that may be fire blight. But if you just have some black leaves, they'll fall off. It'll be okay. The tree will go, yeah, I don't need you anymore, and drop the leaf. And there may be a lot of them. You may be like, wow, there's a lot of black leaves in that tree. That happens. Excess water can cause that condition. It does not immediately identify that you have fire blight. There's a whole lot more indicators you need than simply a black leaf. So with the kind of rain we've had and still have some coming, you're probably going to see that kind of leafing on your pear trees. Don't panic. Find out, is the leaf still supple? Is it black, but it's like leathery? You can bend it without it crumbling. It's probably not fire blight. It's just that we've gotten so much rain in such a short period of time. Or you could argue that we've had rain for such a long period of time. Not a lot of it. A lot of fog and humidity, things like that, can contribute to it too. Now, we will dry out, and you will see most of your plants drop the bad stuff and turn around and show you how beautiful they can be and green up again. Just be observant and patient. Your plants will surprise you. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I have to take a break at the bottom of the hour for the news. I'll catch you on the other side.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're going to have some interesting weather. We're going to get quite warm. For this time of the year, it's not like we're going to be 100-degree weather or greater, but it's going to be warm for the plants. You may find that the 3 days of nearly 90 degree temperature and the 3 nights of above 72 degree temperature may force some of your plants to bolt. That's a fancy word for they get stressed and go, wow, we got to produce seeds, because that's our only job. We need to produce seeds so that we can grow next season. The process of making seeds, many leafy greens, they'll actually change the plant chemistry. And they'll make the plant taste bad. Lettuce will bolt. you'll suddenly see a flower stalk in the lettuce. Many of our leafy green plants, green beans, cucumbers even, will bolt. And they will taste bad. They develop a bitter taste. It's not like a sweet leaf of spinach or lettuce. They're bitter. They're nasty. And that is something that keeps the animals from eating them, giving the plant time to flower and produce a seed. Stressing the plant, high daily temperatures, high nighttime temperatures, lack of water, all of these things can be a stressor that causes the plant to bolt. There is no going back. Once the plant bolts, there's nothing you can do to make it sweet leaf lettuce again or not bitter cucumbers. And it's not just like one cucumber will be bad. They will all be bad, and every subsequent cucumber will be bitter. So the goal is to do everything you can to de-stress the plant. Water shouldn't be an issue right now. Most of us got enough rain in our soil that our plants are probably doing just fine for water, even when we get into the 90s this week. But make sure they have the proper fertilizer. They need food just like we do. If you can, you can move them out of direct sun in the afternoon. I know that we need the sun for the plant to manage. I get that. They're going to grow. But that direct afternoon hot western sun, if you have the ability to shade your plants, that will reduce the stresses and can help prevent them from bolting. Little steps you can take to get the plant to continue growing and producing good quality fruit for you. Now, the end of next week, or the end of this week, depending on how you want to see it, we're going to be back into our normal temperatures. We'll be 80, etc., good temperature for what we want. So this may be just a little bump in the road these next few days. But if you really want to take steps, try to keep the plants de-stressed. Don't let them suffer in super hot sun. Make sure that they're getting the water they need. I know that sounds silly after some of the rain we had, but check their watering and check what they've had for fertilizer. Don't starve them. That will help your plants stay happy and healthy. Let's go to the phone. This is Maggie. Maggie, what can I help you with?
Hi, good morning, Jeff. Thank you for all of your information that you give us every week. But I had a question about, with all this rain, and I've had a bunch of mushrooms, about five or six different types that I've seen so far. Are they poisonous to animals?
They can upset a dog's stomach. Some of them, especially a dog that just vacuums them up, it can make the dog sick, meaning he's going to throw up all over your carpet. So they're not poisonous, but not all of them will be healthy. So That's part of the problem we have when they come up. If you have pets, you want to try to keep them from eating the mushrooms. Or you can go out and pick them all and throw them in a bag and throw them out.
Okay. Yeah, our dog is like really sick. He's got a lot of neurological problems right now. So I'm wondering, what did he get into? So,
well, discuss that with your vet. If you can, while you're talking to your vet, take photos of the mushrooms that you have and let them see them. They can help diagnose that's a really bad mushroom. That's one that shouldn't have caused a problem.
Gotcha.
But generally speaking, things like death cap mushroom, you're not going to see that. So you don't have to worry about that one too much. But the other mushrooms, yeah, they can make them sick. It's like they ate bad food.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check with the vet. They said there's not really any poisonous mushrooms in this area, so I don't know.
Well, there isn't, but that doesn't mean that your dog didn't splurge so much that he devoured a whole bunch of mushrooms that are simply making his stomach upset.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate the information.
Yeah, good luck, Maggie, and I'm sorry about your dog. I hope he recovers just fine.
Yeah, we do too. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah, folks, you're going to see a lot of mushrooms, all right? A lot of mushrooms. The moisture, the temperatures, they are indicative of having organic matter in your soil. Cut a tree down, you'll find mushrooms over the dead tree roots. Did you apply a bunch of compost to a spot? You may see mushrooms coming up there. Funguses make mushrooms. That's how they reproduce. Funguses eat organic matter and break it down into a form that other plants can use. So this is a natural occurrence. This is not some bizarre effect. This is not a bunch of... This is not attack of the mushroom people. And there are poisonous mushrooms in our area, but they're very rare. Number two, never, never, never. Let me add one more. Never pick a mushroom and eat it unless you are 1,000% sure that it's an edible mushroom. You may need to contact a mycologist. That's a person who studies mushrooms who can tell you that's a good one, that's a bad one. You don't want to eat this one. This one is actually delicious. Don't guess on your own. Bad thing, very bad thing. Have an expert or become an expert to ensure you know what you're doing. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. Gotta take a quick break here. Be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I was talking about the mushrooms. Please, they can make an animal sick. But it usually is a case where the animal just scarfs down too many. They are not harmful. They don't last many days. There'll be mushrooms, but heat, the dryness, things like that, will get rid of them. We don't generally have them in the summer, if you noticed, because the fungus needs the moisture to reproduce. And when we lose that moisture, no more mushrooms. Let's go to the phone. This is Jamie. Jamie, what can I help you with?
Hi. I just got a delivery of a dwarf white cherry weeping tree and or a weeping white snow. It's called like snow, white snow cherry. But it came with no instructions on how to put it in the ground, and it said it was just fine for zone 8B as long as it had a drain, you know, good drainage and plenty of water. And so I just wanted to know your thoughts on putting it in the ground.
Okay. I'm going to be kind of cruel here. Sorry. Have you seen this tree growing anywhere in your neighborhood?
No. And I live in South Austin.
You are actually almost in zone 9. It will probably survive the summer, but it is not, it's not a tree that's really supported well here. If we were Bastrop side, maybe it would do a little better. If you were Dallas-Fort Worth area, maybe. But
okay.
this is something you're going to keep your expectations kind of low on this. That way, if it grows and it blooms out and it looks beautiful, hey, congratulations. But don't bet the farm on this particular tree. Now, well-drained soil. You can amend almost any kind of soil and make it well-drained.
Okay.
So you can dig the hole, dig out what's in the hole, and first off, the big rocks, get rid of them.
Okay.
You can blend in things like some compost, some decomposed granite. That'll really help it drain well. And you plant it so that the root flare is level with the ground. You do not plant it deeper than that.
Okay.
And you're probably have plenty of wet soil right now, but you're going to want to watch it for at least the first year, where you may have to provide it water weekly. If it drains
okay.
really well, that shouldn't be a problem. It would be a very low chance of you drowning it.
Okay.
But you're going to have to keep an eye on it and see what happens with it. It
do,
may grow
do you know,
up.
Do you know what the ratio I should use for the decomposed granite?
Well, if you've got really clay soil, decomposed granite doesn't add any nutrients. It just improves the draining. So you can, you know, let's say you take all the big rocks out of the hole you dig.
Okay.
Look at how big, throw them in a bucket, see how many you got, how much space it takes up, and you could replace them all with decomposed granite. And blend that into the soil. Don't just dump it on top. But
okay.
that would really lighten up the soil and make it drain better to give the plant a chance.
Okay. And how big should the hole be? That's my last question. I'm sorry.
No, that's a very good one. If you're digging a hole for a tree, the depth of the hole is the same as the root ball. So
okay.
if you've got the tree trunk, you're holding it, and you see the root flare where the first roots start coming out, and it's 12 inches of roots, that's all the deeper you need to make the hole, 12 inches deep.
Okay.
Width-wise, you want it to be 2 to 3 times wider than the root ball. That gives those roots a place to go. You soften the soil up a little bit for them. You give an opportunity for them to really sink in and grab the earth for you.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you very much. I'll let you know in a year or two how it looks.
Yeah, I would like to, because the blooming cherries, the blooming peaches, things like that, can be gorgeous when they're blooming. We're just a little tough on them here in this part of the country.
Got it. Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate your expertise.
Thanks for the call, Jamie. Good luck with it. Yeah, folks. We always want something. Oh, I saw this really cool plant. I want to grow it. If you saw that really cool plant on TV or maybe the internet, there's no guarantee that that really cool plant grows here. So when you see something that you think looks really cool, look around. Do you see it growing here? Because if you do, well, the odds are better that you can grow it. But if you want a certain kind of plant and you don't see them growing anywhere around you, well, it doesn't mean it'll be impossible. But it does mean you're going to have to overcome some problems to keep the plant happy and healthy. I had someone who got very mad at me one day because we didn't sell gooseberry. And we didn't sell red currant. And that just was unacceptable. So they ordered it over the internet. You can get both plants over the internet. I can pretty much guarantee those plants didn't make it. They're just not. You will find a place somewhere in Austin that will grow that. But you have no guarantee that that's going to be your backyard. You should always have a special plant. I had a pineapple for years. It was productive. I got a bunch of pineapples off of it. It was an attractive plant. It was a dangerous plant. Pineapple leaves are like sawtooths, but the fruit's delicious. There's really something to be said about cutting a pineapple open that you grew. It tastes great, but it got to be too much trouble. And one year, I wasn't home. We had a surprise freeze. I came back home, dead plant. They're easy to start, but it's just not worth the effort. There are plants like that. I know people who have special plants that mean things to them. A particular type of flower or rose or even certain types of fruit. Go for it. Go for it. That's why we garden. We put our skills to the test. But before you make a big investment, don't think that, oh, it's a Zone 8A plant. Vancouver in Canada is a Zone 8 plant, right? That's Zone 8. Doesn't mean that Zone 8 in Texas is the same thing. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. Got the top of the hour coming. Going to break for the news. I'll catch you on the other side.